24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow. Bling. New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know. Now I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone. Okay. Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by the bookkeeper, 247.com. Welcome back. We would like to thank everyone, including our new listeners, for joining us. In episode 3 of season 2, Mitch Darrell sits down with God Over Money artist Dayton. Find out how Mitch Darrell and Dayton find common grounds in a misunderstanding. Also, Dayton shares the worst and favorite parts of making a project, surrendering the gift that God gave him, Menace Movement, and the role he played for Bizzle before signing with God Over Money. This interview is packed with laughs and information. Dayton also discussed what inspired him to drop CHH Ain't Dead, plus advice to Andy Mineo on leaving Reach Records. It's a great interview, so tune in to find out more about your favorite artist with your favorite host. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the dopest show in hip hop, The Mitch Darrell Show.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Darrell of The Mitch Darrell Show. It's season 2, episode 3, and I got probably my most special guest today. I'm excited for it. It's my guy, Dayton. What's up, bro? How you doing?
What's up, man? Praise God. What's going on, bro?
Nothing much, man. I'm honestly really excited for this. I do have one question. I don't think it'll catch you off guard, but I think it'll be funny, but we'll get to that. For now, I want to kind of attack you with questions that kind of might be helpful for people who don't know your story. So very simple question off the bat, what got you into rap and hip hop? What like introduced you to that?
Oh man, I just think my father was a DJ, a professional disc jockey musician, and he would spin hip hop records. So I just was into every genre he played except for the Spanish stuff, because they never taught me Spanish.
Okay.
So yeah, I think I was introduced to hip hop, like we're talking about, from infancy. So yeah, bro.
Very dope. So you got into battle rap. What took you from I'm interested in hip hop to the battle rap scene, and I want to get into this?
I think, you know, I started like real young, and I started to craft songs. I remember being like real, I mean, if I go back and listen to this stuff, it would be trash, but I remember all the homies being like, yo, you got catchy hooks. So I was the designated hook dude. Like me and my little friends would do songs and be like, yo, they can come up with a hook. So I was into the art of crafting songs, but I saw that in the hood, the easiest way to get a buzz was on the battle scene.
Right.
So I always had like punchlines and my verses, but I started to tailor them more to like dissing people.
Right.
Instead of like a punchline about how dope I am, how can I, you know, straight diss you and think of ill, clever schemes and punchlines. And I joined the battle scene just to get my buzz up.
Right. So yeah. What took you from I want to do maybe worldly or secular type music or battling to, oh, I want to now use my gift for God?
The Lord saved me in 2007 Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had no intentions of being a Christian rapper. Even with that, I was familiar with Christian rap because the person that was witnessing to me was playing a whole bunch of Christian rap to me. But yeah, I wasn't with it. I was like, yo, you know what? I'll clean it up. I won't curse.
Right.
I'll just drop, you know, the N word. That'll be the extent of my cursing. You know, I won't talk about killing. I'll be a whole positive rapper.
Right.
And you know, but then the Lord just kept tugging at my heart. I feel like every sermon I heard, that the pastor could have been preaching about something that had nothing to do with this issue, but I feel like God was using everything to communicate to me that, yo, I need you to fully surrender, especially your gift.
Gotcha.
So that's where it started.
I always love that question because most musicians and rappers who consider themselves doing it for Christ don't start off that way. So it's almost always an interesting story of like, oh, I used to do this. And then one day I was like, oh, I could be using this gift that God gave me for him. And it always ends up being, maybe not always, but it seems to be used better that way rather than how it was used before. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Do you ever... You ever think about what life would have been like if you hadn't left secular, if you kept battling?
Man, I always think about that. And like, there's nothing enticing. There's no regrets.
Right.
I really feel like in the circles I was running, I look at everybody that I was cool with that are now, that they're successful. I'd be like, oh, I'd have been with him. Mm-hmm. I'd have been rocking with him, with that producer, with this producer. I think, and I don't want to sound judgmental, but as I even look at them and follow them on the gram, it's not like they got it all together or they're fulfilled. Or they, you know what I'm saying? They're still trying. They're still after the clout chase. And it's not something I desire. I would probably be caught up in the very same things that they caught up in.
Gotcha. Here's a good way to look at it, because sometimes we'll see money or success and think it's like happiness. But it's like it's like grass is greener on the other side. Like you could be in those shoes and be like, I'm not happy at all. In fact, I'm sad, like more sad. So God kind of puts you where you're supposed to be. So now I guess I would consider you're like CHH through and through. So what made you want to make the CHH Ain't Dead project? Like what made you want to be like, you know what, let me remind people that this is growing and not dying.
Alright, so just some back context. The reason why I always felt so strongly about trying to represent the genre, I come from the other side.
Right.
And I see how they look at us on this side, or how they view the things of the Lord. I see, you know, what they glorify. And I came on this side. And at the time that I got saved, it was like Cross Movement on top, and then Reach, Lecrae started to make his rounds. I kind of was like, the music was edifying to me. It really played a part in my spiritual walk, like for real. And becoming a part of a brotherhood that just had a different, like it was just a different vibe, bro. A whole different vibe that I fell in love with. And I was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? We bros over here, we need to be speaking against what they're doing. Not dissing them,
right?
You know what I'm saying? But kind of poking holes in these things that they represent and they glorify. So just bringing light, to being a light in the darkness. So at one point, you know, I kept seeing other Christian rappers, you know, or former Christian rappers, especially, I'm not even gonna name them. It was a former Christian rapper, like, yo, CHH is dead. That's his tweet. And at that time, we was on tour, and, you know, by the grace of God, no boasting, bro, but sold out shows, GOM tour. And I'm like, bro, who the hell is you to make this call? You nobody to make that call, bro. Right. Like, you ain't doing no shows. You ain't doing no, yeah, you look like you got a lot of streams. You probably buying them joints. So it made me like, nah, man, you can't make that call.
Right.
I definitely hit homie in the DM. He read it. He ignored it. Mm-hmm. Like, So it's not like, you know, I went straight to the wax.
Right.
And then after that, like, I made this little single, called CHH Ain't Dead. Mm-hmm. And then it was making its rounds, getting the buzz. Everybody was wondering what I was talking about. Then at some point, I did this challenge, the Shook Challenge. When I did the Shook Challenge, all these different young, up-and-coming Christian rappers came out. It was like a dope little people connected. It felt like this community came out to represent. And I said, yo, you know what? Like, this is proof that CHH Ain't Dead. Right. I'm going to do a compilation mixtape and put everybody on. Now, it ain't happened that way because it was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be. I ran into obstacles. Some of the stuff just wasn't up to par to release. So I just went and I was like, yo, I promised this project. Right. Let me reach out to all the homies that owe me favors. You know what I'm saying? The Esau's, the this dude, the that dude.
Right.
Or anybody who ever hit me like, you know, yo, let's work. I throw, boom, I got verses from them and then put the project out.
Yeah. It's very dope. So this is where the funny story comes in. So do you know the story of how I became like aware of who you were, like aside of just like knowing your name?
Yo, 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 it's your boy YJO with Enoch Flow Records, letting you know if you need beats, engineering, graphic design, website creation, Enoch Flow is the way to go. I'm gonna tell you why. Beats and engineering. All beats are produced by yours truly, exclusively with no leases. And I'll even throw engineering in there for you. Graphic design and website creation. Bring your next single, EP, or album artwork to life with DC Graphics, led by Damian Clinton, best graphic designer in the business. That's no cap. Get all these services and more only at Enoch Flow Records. Peace.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
Like aware of who you were, like aside of just like knowing your name.
Nah.
So here's that story. So I'm very new to CHH. Like, I love interviewing different artists because different people learned about CHH at different times. I didn't get into rap until middle school. And I was a huge Lil Wayne fan. He had like taken over the world when I was in middle school. So I listened to a ton of secular rap. It wasn't until way later that someone was telling me, I knew about Lecrae, but I hadn't really listened to him a lot. And then I got put onto No Big Deal and he dropped his project Solar. And I was like, this is Christian hip hop. I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is like, I didn't know it existed. Right. So I'm brand new to it. So I don't know a lot of names. Right. I did this competition where I ended up getting to be put on one of KJ52's projects, got close with him, and through him got close with Dre Murray. So almost a year ago, it was in May. You were doing promo for the CHH Is Not Dead. And I love Kendrick Lamar a ton. And I was like, you know what? Like, rap is really fun to me. I'm really bored because of quarantine. Let me like recreate the Control verse, but like just poke fun and like kind of take jabs at a lot of my friends, indie friends.
Oh, okay.
So in 24 hours, I was at work writing most of it. I wrote like all these, a lot of it's inside jokes and just kind of like, it was corny. Like, it was just like, I'm gonna do this for fun. I recorded it that night. I got a friend to mix it. I was like, I'm gonna put it out the next day. So I put it out. I'm moving into this apartment that I'm currently in. So I'm not looking at my phone. my friend is like, yo, bro, I was going to do a response to you, but I don't know if I'm going to do it no more. And I'm like, why? He's like, because they're going crazy on Twitter. I was like, what do you mean? I get on Twitter. I got a ton of notifications saying, yo, what is this guy doing? He's dissing everybody. Who is this guy? And the day keeps getting worse and worse. Like, I'm with my parents, not even paying attention to them. I'm looking at my phone. They're asking me what's wrong. And it keeps getting worse. And then someone's like, yo, Dayton tweeted. And I like knew of you, but I didn't like know exactly what that meant. So I was like, well, what? I found it. And you had tweeted basically because other people had done records, but it kind of branched off from what I did. And you had said something like these indie artists dissing each other. This isn't what we're about. This isn't godly. I can't believe we're going down this road. And this was like a week before you were going to drop your project. So the timing was terrible. And I was like, people were texting me like, yo, Dayton's mad at you. Like, he's about to put us on punishment. Like, what is happening? And I was like, I was so upset that whole day because I was just doing something for fun. And the next thing I know, people are like, yo, you're about to like, your career is going to be over. Like,
and it ended up, let me give y'all context.
Go for it.
Let me give you context. So first of all, we got a chat and this chat has probably 200 people in it. More than half. Every single person in this chat is involved in CHH. Mm-hmm. More than half are well-known CHH artists.
Right.
And somebody hit me in the chat. I'm rarely, like, I muted the chat. It's too much going on.
Yeah.
Somebody hits me like, yo, you over here about to drop CHH in bed, and all these dudes is dissing each other. And I'm like, what? So I'm strictly, I made the mistake of going based off of what I think are trusted resources.
Right.
So they like, yo, they dissing each other. They all talking about it.
Right.
And it's Jay from the crew in there too.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, yo. So then I go to Twitter and I see this, bro. I was tight, like, yo. And then it ain't solely y'all's fault. I'm just, at that point, I'm just seeing a trail of like ungodliness in
right.
the genre, like people doing this, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. I'm feeling like, bro, I shouldn't even dare see it. This joint is like, it is dead.
No.
Now we to the point where everybody dissing each other. So I go in, and then when y'all start explaining, I'm still hot, like, wow, but y'all can't. And then in the end, I was just like, I did tweet, I don't know, yo, my bad, yo.
Right.
Like, yo, I jumped the gun. I didn't want to put the homies on blast and put the battery in my back.
Right.
I didn't give that context, you know
right.
what I'm saying? But I'm just like, yo, my bad, y'all was playing. Okay, cool, it just seemed serious to me.
Right.
So, yeah, I get it. If I would have known from the rip, like, the fun aspect, I get it. But somebody
right.
was like, yo, not somebody. Okay. A dude was just like, yo, look at the man. They dissing each other. This is disrespectful. And you see all these, your homies saying that. You like, girl. Like,
oh, my goodness.
Y'all over here in this chat, I'm about to go to Twitter. Like,
right.
So, yeah, I did jump the gun. And to all the homies, I apologize. I'm not the old man rapper that be angry and
can't right.
I get it. When y'all started saying that, I was like, dang, I feel bad.
That was honestly the funniest thing. And like, I even, from your point of view, I completely understood why. Because the timing was terrible. Like, you were literally just about to put this project out. And then this happened. So in your mind, you're like, what is going on? And it's funny because like, at that point, Dre Murray was basically like my mentor, and he hit me up at the end of the day and was like, yo, bro, I just wanted to call you and make sure, like, are you okay? Because, like, I'm hearing my guy Mitch is wilding on Twitter, and I'm like, this is my guy. Like, I got to defend my guy. And, like, I explained the whole thing to him. But that was probably the funniest thing to me. And honestly, through that is how I looked more into to you and, like, GOM and stuff. Because, like I said, I'm very new to CHA, so I didn't even know a ton about it. But I had a talk with Dre, and he was, like, trying to explain what your mindset probably was. You were about to put out this project, and all you see is, like, these younger indie kids, like, going at each other, and you're like, what is this? But I wanted to bring that up to you personally, because I had a feeling you'd have your own perspective, and that it would be like, okay, it wasn't just you were like an old man who was like, oh, we can't have fun. No one can diss each other. This isn't even...
I feel like a dork. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a dork for jumping the gun, and I let them put the battery in my back. Next time, it's like I gotta go see for myself. That's all it. I did know is I seen all the freestyles because they throwing them right in the chat. And it didn't seem like y'all was playing.
You're right.
Talking about each other, mamas and all that. I'm like, girl.
Well, thanks for talking to me about that. So, another easy question. Well, maybe not easy, but what would you say is your favorite thing about being an artist? Like, if there's one thing where you're like, this is the top thing that I love to do every time, you know, like I couldn't do more, like, you know, I couldn't do more of it, even if you feel what I'm saying?
I think my favorite part is the completion of an album or a project.
I feel that.
And releasing it. That joint is just, that's super dope. And then also, touring, so it's like, but with touring, it's always like you love to start and you love to finish. The in between, you're like, oh, I love touring, and I love completing the project.
I think that's probably the same now that I think about it, because working on the project can get very tiring, but once you've like it's done, where instead, like, you know, when you're getting close to them, when it's like mix number 12. Maybe almost done, kind of, you know what I'm saying? But then you get it. It's like, these are the finished files. This is the project. It's going out. I think that's probably the best feeling, because it's what it's going to be at that point. So conversely, what is the thing that you're like, I wish I never had to do this again about being an artist, that you're like, I hate this so much. I wish this didn't exist.
Ooh. Doing features, bro.
Really?
Bro.
I feel that.
Yeah, I think at this point, it all depends on the season I'm in. It's just, there's people that I want to work with, excuse me, because I like look up to them or even appreciate their work. But the having homies that rap, that it's like, it's, you know, yo, just because you the homie and you rap, don't mean we got to be on records together.
That's a fact.
So getting bombarded with, oh man, boom, boom, yo, I need a feature, I need a verse.
Right.
And everybody cashing in favors for verses. That joint be like, it makes me miserable. Bro.
I feel that.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than writing when you're not inspired to write. Like, if someone's just like, yo, here's just this record, especially if it's just a favor that I'm not going to pay you, then you're going to be like, this isn't even going to be a great verse. Cause I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, keep pushing it back in your calendar.
If I never had to do another feature again outside of like, I've never went public with, yo, I never want to do a feature again, because like, I don't want the artist that I want to work with to not reach out. Like, I remember when The Truth hit me for a feature. For me, like The Truth is, it's probably like what No Big Deal is to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when he's the dude, the first dude that I wasn't saved, but now I'm like, bro, this dude is fire. Like, he hard. So imagine me putting something out like that in the open, and then The Truth hears and he's like, nah, he don't want to do
right.
Feature. So I don't want to ruin that. I don't want to spoil that. But man, if I can never do another feature again outside of my squad and my team, I'll right. be after, bro.
Bet. Yeah. I know a few people that were going to ask you, so I'll let them know. No more features from Dayton.
Man, they can hit the booking, you know what I'm saying?
Got you right.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's just the whole freebie thing.
Yeah, I feel that, bro. Last few questions. So you've been doing this menace movement thing. What made you want to start that and kind of like put on younger and upcoming artists and do your own type of thing?
So I feel like one of my strengths is, like, I know that like, you know, as a metaphor, like, I know I could ball, but I think I'm an even better coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm passionate about helping other artists refine their gifts, their talents,
right.
structuring an album, helping people that need help in that area as far as like the behind the scenes stuff. Right. So I started with GOM as an A&R, and I offered my services to Bizzle. That's how the relationship started. He felt like I knew my stuff. So I was serving from about maybe 2012 to 2014. You know, just, yo, 2 years of, like, I'm watching this dude get signed to GOM. Right. Just like, you know, why, when? I mean, maybe he just don't like my music. I mean, he's doing songs with me. But he ain't asking to sign. And then we did some more records, and he was like, yo, you need to come on. So I still played A&R, and I was passionate about it. So I was meeting... So I bought like Jared Sanders onto GOM. You know, I helped the negotiate the joint for Selah, to get on. There's been other people, you know, even AI. I was in Bizzle's ear for years about AI. There's artists that I knew, like I liked and I wanted to help and I wanted to see them get signed, but I knew Bizzle wasn't signed.
Right.
So he thinks Stefanato's dope, but I knew he wasn't signed Stefanato. He thinks Nowadays is dope, but I knew he wasn't signed Nowadays. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna start my own thing. Like, I want to help them. I felt called and led by God to help like Stefanato out.
Right.
So yeah, I was just like, yo, and then as I'm praying about it, I get a call. People search for distribution. I get a call from Syntax. And they like, yo, Dayton, we want to give you your own distribution. I was like, yo, it can't be more God than
perfect,
this.
Yeah.
I was praying about it. And I started the label. Somebody sold a seed with some money. Because I was like, yeah, this is going to take money and I'm flat broke out here. And somebody just right on time sold a seed without me asking for a handout. It was just all God orchestrating that joint. And good.
Very dope, bro. Yeah, through you is how I now met C4, and he's super dope. Just met him like maybe a month ago. Like, we're in this battle rap group chat, and like, I already love dude. It's so funny though, because I love how social media works. Like, the past two or three times where you're like, I'm about to sign a new artist, without me saying a word, I have never said a word, people are like, yo, this is what Mitch Darrell, Mitch is about to sign a date. Like, literally, I got a text last time that was like, bro, you tell me if you were signing to Dayton, right? And I'm like, I don't even say anything. I'm just like, I send the eyes emoji, or I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why people keep thinking that I'm the next person you're going to sign, but it happens every single time. And I'm like, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to let y'all keep assuming.
Yeah, I think it's just the style of MC that you are, bro. But like, I had hit you in the DM, like, and for anybody else paying attention, yo, a label ain't for everybody.
Right.
You can, like, it. You at least gotta take a couple swings,
right,
and miss, like where you know that the project is fire, but you just not getting your music off the ground and running. Right. That's when you consider, all right, I need a label to come along and help me.
Right.
But if you can get it on your own,
then
you know
yep.
what I'm saying? You'll kick yourself in the freaking head, like why did I sign? And I got somebody in my pocket taking 50%.
Right.
And even if, like, look at it like this. Let's say you stream a mil, right, with the label. They help you, your album stream a million streams. Let's just be modest, right? But on your own, you stream 500,000.
Like, there you go.
Like, yo, you would probably make more off that 500,000 than the million with the label, because you got them in your pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah, bro. So
it's funny because, and I don't know how long it's gonna stay this way since more people seem to be going the indie route, but label has always just been synonymous with success. So if someone gets signed, people are like, oh, they're signed. This is the best possible thing for them. When it's like, perfect example, we've been talking about how Andy's, is he going to leave Reach or not? And how a lot of fans who don't know a lot about the music business are like, he shouldn't leave. Why should he leave? When a lot of artists are like, he should leave. He has his own, he's spent his time with Reach. He's got his own brand, his own fan base. There's no real reason for him to stay and not go and do his own thing where he can
there's
now
no,
reap the benefits.
There's no reason for Andy to stay.
Exactly.
at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Once upon a time, like, I get it. But I think out of the whole label, the Lecrae is a genius, and he has Ben Washer, that's also a genius. So
right.
Them two together, they structure Roots. I think, like, the one man secret weapon, like the musical genius, other than them two, is Andy.
Right.
He knows his business. He knows how to run a tour. The kid's a genius, bro.
Right.
So he needs to just leave them and get everybody lost. All right.
Thanks. I agree with you. So last question that I had to ask every artist, and I keep saying eventually I hope to not have to ask this anymore because it'll be over. But how has, like, the pandemic affected you as an artist specifically over the last year? Has it caused you to be more creative? Has it hindered certain plans you had? That type of thing.
Super hindered plans. So on one aspect, I've learned I have a different workflow as far as creativity and writing. So I've probably written more than I ever had in my whole life. And I remember, like, when I first started rhyming, I just couldn't stop.
Right.
I feel like I'm being even more productive now as far as writing, so, which is dope. Got a bunch of stuff I'm working on. Gang of features. I highly doubt, and I can be proven wrong, but I highly doubt that in 2021, when 2021 is done, I want to see who got more verses out
there. Okay.
That's all I'm saying. like I'm that, like, confident about
gotcha.
Features, working on who, like, because though I may not be writing my artist's verses, but just even helping them, like structure this stuff,
and, right.
and maybe writing hooks and stuff like that, putting it out. I credit that, like, yo, that's me too.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see who has the most product out of 2021. But anyway, now from that aside from that, the pandemic definitely messed up the shows, the touring. Right now, we'd probably be preparing to go on tour. Messed that up. Last year, I was just about to do one little quick one with the Invasion tour. The first half was on that. That didn't go well because people were still paranoid and scared of the pandemic. So we saw that it's probably not right now. We went a little too early. It seems to be lifting, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, it messed up plans. I had got booked. 2020 was supposed to be my busiest year.
Right.
And yeah, none of it popped off.
I feel you, bro. Now, definitely praying that it ends. Hoping the vaccines will be successful and artists can get back to touring, because I haven't performed in like a year and a half, and I need to practice that. So, So last thing. So, do you have any, like, look, I guess you said you have a lot of features. Do you have any, like, specific, like, musical goals for the rest of 2021, or anything for people to look forward to?
Yeah, so I would like to drop a couple little EPs, like random stuff. I'm talking about, like, so random, like light promotion. I'm talking about, right. Like, yo, I'm about to drop this 4-song joint with this producer next week.
Right.
Stuff like that. But at the end of the year, I'll be dropping my God Over Money, my next release. I haven't released a project with God Over Money since Hell in the Hallway in 2018. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to drop a full-length album, God Willing, at the end of the year with GOM. So,
very dope, bro. I'll be looking forward to it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time again. This was definitely one of my favorite interviews for sure. And I'm glad I got to tell you that story from my point of view. And it ended up being a good thing, because honestly, I think that's why I'm talking to you right now. I don't know if we really would have connected if it wasn't for that, or maybe later.
The thing that was dope was I got put up on all of y'all.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Crumb, Q Flow. I already knew who Coop was. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Everything definitely happens for a reason. So people like to give me crap for it, but I'm like, hey, it literally ended up working out in a lot of ways. So
it did.
But so I gotta end every show. So shout out to Daryl from Bookkeeper. He's the reason I got this show. So appreciate you, bro, for letting me do my favorite thing, which is talk. And thanks for everybody that's tuning in. See y'all next time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So what got Charles? I want
to
wait.
I've been watching it go from
no shield, no protector. If you send bullets, they gonna hit me.
Yeah.
He had salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. So it was. All right, 15 minutes.